Abraham bowed with his face to the ground and thought, I am almost 100 years old. How can I become a father? And Sarah is 90. How can she have a child? So he started laughing. Then he asked God, Why not let Ishmael inherit what you have promised me? But God answered, No. You and Sarah will have a son. His name will be Isaac, and I will make an everlasting promise to him and his descendants. I have heard what you asked me to do for Ishmael, and so I will also bless him with many descendants. He will be the father of 12 princes, and I will make his family a great nation. But your son Isaac will be born about this time next year, and the promise I am making to you and your family will be for him and his descendants forever. God finished speaking to Abraham and then left. On that same day, Abraham obeyed God by circumcising Ishmael. Abraham was also circumcised, and so were all other men and boys in his household, including his servants and slaves. He was 99 years old at the time, and his son Ishmael was 13. The Lord promises Abraham a son. Chapter 18. One hot summer afternoon, Abraham was sitting by the entrance to his tent near the sacred trees of Mamre, when the Lord appeared to him. Abraham looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. He quickly ran to meet them, bowed with his face to the ground, and said, Please come to my home where I can serve you. I'll have some water brought, so you can wash your feet, then you can rest under the tree. Let me get you some food to give you strength before you leave. I will be honored to serve you. Thank you very much, they answered. We accept your offer. Abraham quickly went to his tent and said to Sarah, Hurry, get a large sack of flour and make some bread. After saying this, he rushed off to his herd of cattle and picked out one of the best calves, which his servant quickly prepared. He then served his guests some yogurt and milk together with the meat. While they were eating, he stood near them under the trees, and they asked, Where is your wife, Sarah? She is right there in the tent, Abraham answered. One of the guests was the Lord, and he said, I'll come back about this time next year, and when I do, Sarah will already have a son. Sarah was behind Abraham, listening at the entrance to the tent. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah was well past the age for having children, so she laughed and said to herself, Now that I am worn out and my husband is old, will I really know such happiness? The Lord asked Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh? Does she doubt that she can have a child in her old age? I am the Lord. There is nothing too difficult for me. I'll come back next year at the time I promised, and Sarah will already have a son. Sarah was so frightened that she lied and said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did, he answered. Abraham prays for Sodom. When the 3 men got ready to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked part of the way with them. The Lord said to himself, I should tell Abraham what I am going to do, since his family will become a great and powerful nation that will be a blessing to all other nations on earth. I have chosen him to teach his family to obey me forever and to do what is right and fair. Then I will give Abraham many descendants, just as I promised. The Lord said, Abraham, I have heard that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are doing all kinds of evil things. Now I am going down to see for myself if those people really are that bad. If they aren't, I want to know about it. The men turned and started toward Sodom, but the Lord stayed with Abraham, who asked, Lord, when you destroy the evil people, are you also going to destroy those who are good? Wouldn't you spare the city if there are only 50 good people in it? You surely wouldn't let them be killed when you destroy the evil ones. You are the judge of all the earth, and you do what is right. The Lord replied, If I find 50 good people in Sodom, I will save the city to keep them from being killed. Abraham answered, I am nothing more than the dust of the earth. Please forgive me, Lord, for daring to speak to you like this, but suppose there are only 45 good people in Sodom. Would you still wipe out the whole city? If I find 45 good people, the Lord replied, I won't destroy the city. Suppose there are just 40 good people, Abraham asked. Even for them, the Lord replied, I won't destroy the city. Abraham said, Please don't be angry, Lord, if I ask you what you will do if there are only 30 good people in the city. If I find 30, the Lord replied, I still won't destroy it. Then Abraham said, I don't have any right to ask you, Lord. But what would you do if you find only 20? Because of them, I won't destroy the city, was the Lord's answer. Finally, Abraham said, Please, don't get angry, Lord. If I speak just once more, suppose you find only 10 good people there. For the sake of 10 good people, the Lord told him, I still won't destroy the city. After speaking with Abraham, the Lord left, and Abraham went back home. The Evil City of Sodom. Chapter 19. That evening, the two angels arrived in Sodom while Lot was sitting near the city gate. When Lot saw them, he got up, bowed down low, and said, Gentlemen, I am your servant. Please come to my home. You can wash your feet, spend the night, and be on your way in the morning. They told him, No, we'll spend the night in the city square. But Lot kept insisting until they finally agreed and went home with him. He baked some bread, cooked a meal, and they ate. Before Lot and his guests could go to bed, every man in Sodom, young and old, came and stood outside his house and started shouting, Where are your visitors? Send them out, so we can have sex with them. Lot went outside and shut the door behind him. Then he said, Friends, please don't do such a terrible thing. I have two daughters who have never been married. I'll bring them out, and you can do what you want with them, but don't harm these men. They are guests in my home. Don't get in our way, the crowd answered. You're an outsider. What right do you have to order us around? We'll do worse things to you than we're going to do to them. The crowd kept arguing with Lot. Finally, they rushed toward the door to break it down, but the two angels in the house reached out and pulled Lot safely inside. Then they struck everyone in the crowd blind, and none of them could even find the door. The two angels said to Lot, The Lord has heard many terrible things about the people of Sodom, and he has sent us here to destroy the city. Take your family and leave. Take every relative you have in the city, as well as the men your daughters are going to marry. Lot went to the men who were engaged to his daughters and said, Hurry and get out of here. The Lord is going to destroy the city. But they thought he was joking, and they laughed at him. Early the next morning, the two angels tried to make Lot hurry and leave. They said, Take your wife and your two daughters and get out of here as fast as you can. If you don't, every one of you will be killed when the Lord destroys the city. At first, Lot just stood there. But the Lord wanted to save him, so the angels took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters by the hand and led them out of the city. When they were outside, one of the angels said, Run for your lives. Don't even look back. And don't stop in the valley. Run to the hills where you will be safe. Lot answered, You have done us a great favor, sir. You have saved our lives. But please don't make us go to the hills. That's too far away. The city will be destroyed before we can get there, and we will be killed when it happens. There's a town near here. It's only a small place, but my family and I will be safe if you let us go there. All right, go there, he answered. I won't destroy that town. Hurry, run. I can't do anything until you are safely there. The town was later called Zoar, because Lot had said it was small. Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. The sun was coming up as Lot reached the town of Zoar, and the Lord sent burning sulfur down like rain on Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed those cities and everyone who lived in them, as well as their land and the trees and the grass that grew there. On the way, Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a block of salt. That same morning, Abraham got up and went to the place where he had stood and spoken with the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and saw smoke rising from all over the land. It was like a flaming furnace. When God destroyed the cities of the valley where Lot lived, he remembered his promise to Abraham and saved Lot from the terrible destruction. Moab and Ammon. Lot was afraid to stay on in Zoar, so he took his two daughters and moved to a cave in the hill country. One day his older daughter said to her sister, "Our father is old, and there are no men anywhere for us to marry. Let's get our father drunk, then we can sleep with him and have children." That night they got their father drunk, and the older daughter got in bed with him, but he was too drunk even to know she was there. The next day the older daughter said to her sister, "I slept with my father last night. We'll get him drunk again tonight, so you can go to bed with him, and we can each have a child." That night they got their father drunk, and this time the younger sister slept with him. But once again he was too drunk even to know she was there. That's how Lot's two daughters had their children. The older daughter named her son Moab, and he is the ancestor of the Moabites. The younger daughter named her son Ben-Ammi, and he is the ancestor of the Ammonites. Abraham and Sarah at Gerar. Chapter 20. Abraham moved to the southern desert, where he settled between Kadesh and Shur. Later he went to Gerar, and while there he told everyone that his wife Sarah was his sister. So King Abimelech of Gerar had Sarah brought to him. But God came to Abimelech in a dream and said, "You have taken a married woman, and for this you will die." Abimelech said to the Lord, "Don't kill me. I haven't slept with Sarah. Didn't they say they were brother and sister? I am completely innocent." God spoke to Abimelech in another dream and said, "I know you are innocent. That's why I kept you from sleeping with Sarah and doing anything wrong. Her husband is a prophet. Let her go back to him, and his prayers will save you from death. But if you don't return her, you and all your people will die." Early the next morning, Abimelech sent for his officials, and when he told them what had happened, they were frightened. Abimelech then called in Abraham and said, "Look what you've done to us. What have I ever done to you? Why did you make me and my nation guilty of such a terrible sin? What were you thinking when you did this?" Abraham answered, "I did it because I didn't think any of you respected God, and I was sure that someone would kill me to get my wife. Besides, she is my half-sister. We have the same father, but different mothers. When God made us leave my father's home and start wandering, I told her, 'If you really love me, you will tell everyone that I am your brother.'" Abimelech gave Abraham some sheep, cattle, and slaves. He sent Sarah back and told Abraham that he could settle anywhere in his country. Then he said to Sarah, "I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver as proof to everyone that you have done nothing wrong." Meanwhile, God had kept Abimelech's wife and slaves from having children. But Abraham prayed, and God let them start having children again. Sarah has a son. Chapter 21. The Lord was good to Sarah and kept his promise. Although Abraham was very old, Sarah had a son exactly at the time God had said. Abraham named his son Isaac, and when the boy was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, just as the Lord had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah said, "God has made me laugh. Now everyone will laugh with me. Who would have dared to tell Abraham that some day I would have a child? But in his old age, I have given him a son. The time came when Sarah no longer had to nurse Isaac, and on that day Abraham gave a big feast. Hagar and Ishmael are sent away. One day Sarah noticed Hagar's son Ishmael playing, and she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that Egyptian slave woman and her son. I don't want him to inherit anything. It should all go to my son." Abraham was worried about Ishmael, but God said, "Abraham, don't worry about your slave woman and the boy. Just do what Sarah tells you. Isaac will inherit your family name, but the son of the slave woman is also your son, and I will make his descendants into a great nation." Early the next morning, Abraham gave Hagar an animal skin full of water and some bread. Then he put the boy on her shoulder and sent them away. They wandered around in the desert near Beersheba, and after they had run out of water, Hagar put her son under a bush. Then she sat down a long way off, because she could not bear to watch him die. And she cried bitterly. When God heard the boy crying, the angel of God called out to Hagar from heaven and said, "Hagar, why are you worried? Don't be afraid. I have heard your son crying. Help him up and hold his hand, because I will make him the father of a great nation." Then God let her see a well. So she went to the well and filled the skin with water, then gave some to her son. God blessed Ishmael, and as the boy grew older, he became an expert with his bow and arrows. He lived in the Paran desert, and his mother chose an Egyptian woman for him to marry. A peace treaty. About this time, Abimelech and his army commander, Phicol, said to Abraham, "God blesses everything you do. Now I want you to promise in the name of God that you will always be loyal to me and my descendants, just as I have always been loyal to you in this land where you have lived as a foreigner." And so Abraham promised. One day Abraham told Abimelech, "Some of your servants have taken over one of my wells." "This is the first I've heard about it," Abimelech replied. "Why haven't you said something before? I don't have any idea who did it." Abraham gave Abimelech some sheep and cattle, and then the two men made a peace treaty. Abraham separated 7 female lambs from his flock of sheep, and Abimelech asked, "Why have you done this?" Abraham told him, "I want you to accept these 7 lambs as proof that I dug this well." So they called the place Beersheba, because they made a treaty there. When the treaty was completed, Abimelech and his army commander Phicol went back to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and worshipped the eternal Lord God. Then Abraham lived a long time as a foreigner in the land of the Philistines. The Lord tells Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Chapter 22. Some years later, God decided to test Abraham, so he spoke to him. Abraham answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said, "Go get Isaac, your only son, the one you dearly love. Take him to the land of Moriah, and I will show you a mountain where you must sacrifice him to me on the fires of an altar." So Abraham got up early the next morning and chopped wood for the fire. He put a saddle on his donkey and left with Isaac and 2 servants for the place where God had told him to go. 3 days later, Abraham looked off in the distance and saw the place. He told his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while my son and I go over there to worship. We will come back." Abraham put the wood on Isaac's shoulder, but he carried the hot coals and the knife. As the 2 of them walked along, Isaac said, "Father, we have the coals and the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" my son. Abraham answered, God will provide the lamb. The two of them walked on, and when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and placed the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son and put him on the wood. He then took the knife and got ready to kill his son, but the Lord's angel shouted from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he answered. Don't hurt the boy or harm him in any way, the angel said. Now I know that you truly obey God, because you were willing to offer him your only son. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the bushes. So he took the ram and sacrificed it in place of his son. Abraham named that place, The Lord Will Provide. And even now people say, On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The Lord's angel called out from heaven a second time, You were willing to offer the Lord your only son. And so he makes you this solemn promise. I will bless you and give you such a large family that some day your descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the grains of sand along the beach. They will defeat their enemies and take over the cities where their enemies live. You have obeyed me, and so you and your descendants will be a blessing to all nations on earth. Abraham and Isaac went back to the servants who had come with him, and they returned to Abraham's home in Beersheba. The Children of Nahor. Abraham's brother, Nahor, had married Milcah, and Abraham was later told that they had 8 sons. Uz was their firstborn, Buz was next, and then there was Kemuel, who became the father of Aram. Their other 5 sons were Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel, who became the father of Rebekah. Nahor also had another wife. Her name was Rumah, and she had 4 sons, Teba, Geam, Tehash, and Maacah. Sarah's Death and Burial. Chapter 23. When Sarah was 127 years old, she died in Kiriath Arba, better known as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. After Abraham had mourned for her, he went to the Hittites and said, I live as a foreigner in your land, and I don't own any property where I can bury my wife. Please let me buy a piece of land. Sir, they answered, you are an important man. Choose the best place to bury your wife. None of us would refuse you a resting place for your dead. Abraham bowed down and replied, If you are willing to let me bury my wife here, please ask Zohar's son Ephron to sell me Machpelah cave at the end of his field. I'll pay what it's worth, and all of you can be witnesses. Ephron was sitting there near the city gate when Abraham made this request, and he answered, Sir, the whole field, including the cave, is yours. With my own people as witnesses, I freely give it to you as a burial place for your dead. Once again, Abraham bowed down and said to Ephron, In front of these witnesses, I offer you the full price, so I can bury my wife. Please accept my offer. But, sir, the man replied, the property is worth only 400 pieces of silver. Why should we haggle over such a small amount? Take the land, it's yours. Abraham accepted Ephron's offer and paid him the 400 pieces of silver in front of everyone at the city gate. That's how Abraham got Ephron's property east of Hebron, which included the field with all of its trees, as well as Machpelah cave at the end of the field. So Abraham buried his wife Sarah in Machpelah cave that was in the field he had bought from the Hittites. A Wife for Isaac. Chapter 24. Abraham was now a very old man. The Lord had made him rich, and he was successful in everything he did. One day Abraham called in his most trusted servant and said to him, Solemnly promise me, in the name of the Lord, who rules heaven and earth, that you won't choose a wife for my son Isaac from the people here in the land of Canaan. Instead, go back to the land where I was born, and find a wife for him from among my relatives." But the servant asked, "What if the young woman I choose refuses to leave home and come here with me? Should I send Isaac there to look for a wife?" "No," Abraham answered. "Don't ever do that, no matter what. The Lord who rules heaven brought me here from the land where I was born and promised that he would give this land to my descendants forever. When you go back there, the Lord will send his angel ahead of you to help you find a wife for my son. If the woman refuses to come along, you don't have to keep this promise. But don't ever take my son back there." So the servant gave Abraham his word that he would do everything he had been told to do. Soon after that, the servant loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with valuable gifts. Then he set out for the city in northern Syria, where Abraham's brother Nahor lived. When he got there, he let the camels rest near the well outside the city. It was late afternoon, the time when the women came out for water. The servant prayed, "You, Lord, are the God my master Abraham worships. Please keep your promise to him, and let me find a wife for Isaac today. The young women of the city will soon come to this well for water, and I'll ask one of them for a drink. If she gives me a drink and then offers to get some water for my camels, I'll know she is the one you have chosen, and that you have kept your promise to my master." While he was still praying, a beautiful, unmarried young woman came by with a water jar on her shoulder. She was Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Abraham's brother Nahor, and his wife Milcah. Rebekah walked past Abraham's servant, then went over to the well and filled her water jar. When she started back, Abraham's servant ran to her and said, "Please, let me have a drink of water." "I'll be glad to," she answered. Then she quickly took the jar from her shoulder and held it while he drank. After he had finished, she said, "Now I'll give your camels all the water they want." She quickly poured out water for them, and she kept going back for more until his camels had drunk all they wanted. Abraham's servant did not say a word, but he watched everything Rebekah did, because he wanted to know for certain if this was the woman the Lord had chosen. The servant had brought along an expensive gold ring and 2 large gold bracelets. When Rebekah had finished bringing the water, he gave her the ring for her nose and the bracelets for her arms. Then he said, "Please tell me who your father is. Does he have room in his house for me and my men to spend the night?" She answered, "My father is Bethuel, the son of Nahor and Milcah. We have a place where you and your men can stay, and we also have enough straw and feed for your camels." Then the servant bowed his head and prayed, "I thank you, Lord God of my master Abraham. You have led me to his relatives and kept your promise to him." Rebekah ran straight home and told her family everything. Her brother Laban heard her tell what the servant had said, and he saw the ring and the bracelets she was wearing. So Laban ran out to Abraham's servant, who was standing by his camels at the well. Then Laban said, "The Lord has brought you safely here. Come home with me. There's no need for you to keep on standing outside. I have a room ready for you in our house, and there's also a place for your camels." Abraham's servant went home with Laban, where Laban's servants unloaded his camels and gave them straw and feed. Then they brought water into the house, so Abraham's servant and his men could wash their feet. After that, they brought in food. But the servant said, "Before I eat, I must tell you why I have come." "Go ahead and tell us," Laban answered. The servant explained, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has been good to my master and has made him very rich. He has given him many sheep, goats, cattle, camels, and donkeys, as well as a lot of silver and gold, and many slaves. Sarah, my master's wife, didn't have any children until she was very old. Then she had a son, and my master has given him everything. I solemnly promised my master that I would do what he said, and he told me, 'Don't choose a wife for my son from the women in this land of Canaan. Instead, go back to the land where I was born, and find a wife for my son from among my relatives.' I asked my master, 'What if the young woman refuses to come with me?' My master answered, 'I have always obeyed the Lord, and he will send his angel to help you find my son a wife from among my own relatives. But if they refuse to let her come back with you, then you are freed from your promise.' When I came to the well today, I silently prayed, 'You, Lord, are the God my master Abraham worships. So please lead me to a wife for his son while I am here at the well. When a young woman comes out to get water, I'll ask her to give me a drink. If she gives me a drink and offers to get some water for my camels, I'll know she is the one you have chosen.' Even before I had finished praying, Rebecca came by with a water jar on her shoulder. When she had filled the jar, I asked her for a drink. She quickly lowered the jar from her shoulder and said, 'Have a drink, then I'll get water for your camels.' So I drank, and after that she got some water for my camels. I asked her who her father was, and she answered, 'My father is Bethuel, the son of Nahor and Milcah.' Right away I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and gave thanks to the God my master Abraham worships. The Lord had led me straight to my master's relatives, and I had found a wife for his son. Now please tell me, if you are willing to do the right thing for my master, will you treat him fairly, or do I have to look for another young woman?' Laban and Bethuel answered, 'The Lord has done this. We have no choice in the matter. Take Rebekah with you. She can marry your master's son, just as the Lord has said.' Abraham's servant bowed down and thanked the Lord. Then he gave clothing as well as silver and gold jewelry to Rebekah. He also gave expensive gifts to her brother and her mother. Abraham's servant and the men with him ate and drank, then spent the night there. The next morning they got up, and the servant told Rebekah's mother and brother, 'I would like to go back to my master now.' 'Let Rebekah stay with us for a week or 10 days,' they answered. 'Then she may go.' But he said, 'Don't make me stay any longer. The Lord has already helped me find a wife for my master's son. Now let us return.' They answered, 'Let's ask Rebekah what she wants to do.' They called her and asked, 'Are you willing to leave with this man right now?' 'Yes,' she answered. So they agreed to let Rebekah and an old family servant woman leave immediately with Abraham's servant and his men. They gave Rebekah their blessing and said, 'We pray that God will give you many children and grandchildren, and that he will help them defeat their enemies.' Afterwards, Rebekah and the young women who were to travel with her prepared to leave. Then they got on camels and left with Abraham's servant and his men. At that time, Isaac was living in the southern part of Canaan, near a place called the Well of the Living One Who Sees Me. One evening he was walking out in the fields, when suddenly he saw a group of people approaching on camels. So he started toward them. Rebekah saw him coming. She got down from her camel and asked, 'Who is that man?' 'He is my master, Isaac,' the servant answered. Then Rebekah covered her face with her veil. The servant told Isaac everything that had happened. Isaac took Rebekah into the tent where his mother had lived before she died, and Rebekah became his wife. He loved her and was comforted over the loss of his mother. Abraham marries Keturah. Chapter 25. Abraham married Keturah, and they had 6 sons, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Later, Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan, and when Dedan grew up, he had 3 sons, Ashurim, Letushim, and Leumim. Midian also had 5 sons, Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. While Abraham was still alive, He gave gifts to the sons of Hagar and Keturah. He also sent their sons to live in the east, far from his son Isaac, and when Abraham died, he left everything to Isaac. The death of Abraham. Abraham died at the ripe old age of 175. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him east of Hebron in Machpelah cave that was part of the field Abraham had bought from Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite. Abraham was buried there beside his wife Sarah. God blessed Isaac after this, and Isaac moved to a place called the Well of the Living One, who sees me. Ishmael's descendants. Ishmael was the son of Abraham and Hagar, the slave woman of Sarah. Ishmael had 12 sons in this order: Nebaioth, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedema. Each of Ishmael's sons was a tribal chief, and a village was named after each of them. Ishmael had settled in the land east of his brothers, and his sons settled everywhere from Havilah to Shur, east of Egypt on the way to Asher. Ishmael was 137 when he died.
The birth of Esau and Jacob. Isaac was the son of Abraham, and he was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel. She was also the sister of Laban the Aramean from northern Syria. Almost 20 years later, Rebekah still had no children, so Isaac asked the Lord to let her have a child, and the Lord answered his prayer. Before Rebekah gave birth, she knew she was going to have twins, because she could feel them inside her, fighting each other. She thought, "Why is this happening to me?" Finally, she asked the Lord why her twins were fighting, and he told her, "Your two sons will become two separate nations. The younger of the two will be stronger, and the older son will be his servant." When Rebekah gave birth, the first baby was covered with red hair, so he was named Esau. The second baby grabbed onto his brother's heel, so they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. Esau sells his rights as the firstborn son. As Jacob and Esau grew older, Esau liked the outdoors and became a good hunter, while Jacob settled down and became a shepherd. Esau would take the meat of wild animals to his father Isaac, and so Isaac loved him more. But Jacob was his mother's favorite son. One day Jacob was cooking some stew when Esau came home hungry and said, "I'm starving to death. Give me some of that red stew right now." That's how Esau got the name Edom. Jacob replied, "Sell me your rights as the firstborn son." "I'm about to die," Esau answered. "What good will those rights do me?" But Jacob said, "Promise me your birthrights here and now." And that's what Esau did. Jacob then gave Esau some bread and some of the bean stew, and when Esau had finished eating and drinking, he just got up and left, showing how little he thought of his rights as the firstborn. Isaac and Abimelech. Chapter 26. Once during Abraham's lifetime, the fields had not produced enough grain, and now the same thing happened. So Isaac went to King Abimelech of the Philistines in the land of Gerar, because the Lord had appeared to Isaac and said, "Isaac, stay away from Egypt. I will show you where I want you to go. You will live there as a foreigner, but I will be with you and bless you. I will keep my promise to your father Abraham by giving this land to you and your descendants. I will give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all of this land. They will be a blessing to every nation on earth, because Abraham did everything I told him to do. Isaac moved to Gerar with his beautiful wife Rebekah. He was afraid that someone might kill him to get her, and so he told everyone that Rebekah was his sister. After Isaac had been there a long time, King Abimelech looked out a window and saw Isaac hugging and kissing Rebekah. Abimelech called him in and said, "Rebekah must be your wife. Why did you say she is your sister?" "Because I thought someone would kill me," Isaac answered. "Don't you know what you've done?" Abimelech exclaimed. "If someone had slept with her, you would have made our whole nation guilty." Then Abimelech warned his people that anyone who even touched Isaac or Rebekah would be put to death. Isaac planted grain and had a good harvest that same year. The Lord blessed him, and Isaac was so successful that he became very rich. In fact, the Philistines were jealous of the large number of sheep, goats, and slaves that Isaac owned, and they stopped up the wells that Abraham's servants had dug before his death. Finally, Abimelech said, "Isaac, I want you to leave our country. You have become too powerful to stay here." Isaac left and settled in Gerar Valley, where he cleaned out those wells that the Philistines had stopped up. Isaac also gave each of the wells the same name that Abraham had given to them. While his servants were digging in the valley, they found a spring-fed well. But the shepherds of Gerar Valley quarreled with Isaac's shepherds and claimed the water belonged to them. So the well was named Quarrel, because they had quarreled with Isaac. Isaac's servants dug another well, and the shepherds also quarreled about it. So that well was named Jealous. Finally, they dug one more well. There was no quarreling this time, and the well was named Lots of Room, because the Lord had given them room and would make them very successful. Isaac went on to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him that night and told him, "Don't be afraid. I am the God who was worshipped by your father Abraham, my servant. I will be with you and bless you, and because of Abraham I will give you many descendants." Isaac built an altar there and worshipped the Lord. Then he set up camp, and his servants started digging a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had left Gerar and was taking his advisor, Ahuzzath, and his army commander, Phicol, to see Isaac. When they arrived, Isaac asked, "Why are you here? Didn't you send me away because you hated me?" They answered, "We now know for certain that the Lord is with you, and we have decided there needs to be a peace treaty between you and us. So let's make a solemn agreement not to harm each other. Remember, we have never hurt you, and when we sent you away, we let you go in peace. The Lord has truly blessed you." Isaac gave a big feast for them, and everyone ate and drank. Early the next morning, Isaac and the others made a solemn agreement. Then he let them go in peace. Later that same day, Isaac's servants came and said, "We've struck water." So Isaac named the well Sheba, and the town is still called Beersheba. Esau's foreign wives. When Esau was 40, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. But these two women brought a lot of grief to his parents, Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac blesses Jacob. Chapter 27. After Isaac had become old and almost blind, he called in his firstborn son Esau, who asked him, "Father, what can I do for you?" Isaac replied, "I am old, and might die at any time. So take your bow and arrows, then go out in the fields and kill a wild animal. Cook some of that tasty food that I love so much and bring it to me. I want to eat it once more and give you my blessing before I die." Rebekah had been listening, and as soon as Esau left to go hunting, she said to Jacob, "I heard your father tell Esau to kill a wild animal and cook some tasty food for your father before he dies. Your father said this because he wants to bless your brother with the Lord as his witness. Now, my son, listen carefully to what I want you to do. Go and kill two of your best young goats and bring them to me. I'll cook the tasty food that your father loves so much. Then you can take it to him, so he can eat it and give you his blessing before he dies." "My brother Esau is a hairy man," Jacob reminded her, "and I am not. If my father touches me and realizes I am trying to trick him, he will put a curse on me instead of giving me a blessing." Rebekah insisted, "Let his curse fall on me. Just do what I say and bring me the meat." So Jacob brought the meat to his mother, and she cooked the tasty food that his father liked. Then she took Esau's best clothes and put them on Jacob. She also covered the smooth part of his hands and neck with goat skins and gave him some bread and the tasty food she had cooked. Jacob went to his father and said, "Father, here I am." "Which one of my sons are you?" his father asked. Jacob replied, "I am Esau, your firstborn, and I have done what you told me. Please sit up and eat the meat I have brought. Then you can give me your blessing." Isaac asked, "My son, how did you find an animal so quickly?" "The Lord your God was kind to me," Jacob answered. "My son," Isaac said, "come closer where I can touch you and find out if you really are Esau." Jacob went closer. His father touched him and said, "You sound like Jacob, but your hands feel hairy like Esau's." And so Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking he was Esau. Isaac asked, "Are you really my son Esau?" "Yes, I am," Jacob answered. So Isaac told him, "Serve me the wild meat, and I can give you my blessing." Jacob gave him some meat, and he ate it. He also gave him some wine, and he drank it. Then Isaac said, "Son, come over here and kiss me." While Jacob was kissing him, Isaac caught the smell of his clothes and said, "The smell of my son is like a field the Lord has blessed. God will bless you, my son, with dew from heaven and with fertile fields rich with grain and grapes. Nations will be your servants and bow down to you. You will rule over your brothers, and they will kneel at your feet. Anyone who curses you will be cursed. Anyone who blesses you will be blessed." Right after Isaac had given Jacob his blessing, and Jacob had gone, Esau came back from hunting. He cooked the tasty food, brought it to his father, and said, "Father, please sit up and eat the meat I have brought you, so you can give me your blessing." "Who are you?" Isaac asked. "I am Esau, your firstborn son." Isaac started trembling and said, "Then who brought me some wild meat right before you came in? I ate it and gave him a blessing that cannot be taken back." Esau cried loudly and begged, "Father, give me a blessing too." Isaac answered, "Your brother tricked me and stole your blessing." Esau replied, "My brother deserves the name Jacob, because he has already cheated me twice. The first time he cheated me out of my rights as the firstborn son, and now he has cheated me out of my blessing." Then Esau asked his father, "Don't you still have any blessing left for me?" "My son," Isaac answered, "I have made Jacob the ruler over you and your brothers, and all of you will be his servants. I have also promised him all the grain and grapes that he needs. There's nothing left that I can do for you." "Father," Esau asked, "don't you have more than one blessing? You can surely give me a blessing too." Then Esau started crying again. So his father said, "Your home will be far from that fertile land where dew comes down from the heavens. You will live by the power of your sword and be your brother's slave. But when you decide to be free, you will break loose." Esau hated his brother Jacob because he had stolen the blessing that was supposed to be his. So he said to himself, "Just as soon as my father dies, I'll kill Jacob." When Rebekah found out what Esau planned to do, she sent for Jacob and told him, "Son, your brother Esau is just waiting for the time when he can kill you. Now listen carefully and do what I say. Go to the home of my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him for a while. When Esau stops being angry and forgets what you have done to him, I'll send for you to come home. Why should I lose both of my sons on the same day?" Rebekah later told Isaac, "Those Hittite wives of Esau are making my life miserable. If Jacob marries a Hittite woman, I'd be better off dead." Isaac's instructions to Jacob. Chapter 28. Isaac called in Jacob, then gave him a blessing, and said, "Don't marry any of those Canaanite women. Go at once to your mother's father, Bethuel, in northern Syria, and choose a wife from one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. I pray that God All-Powerful will bless you with many descendants and let you become a great nation. May he bless you with the land he gave Abraham, so that you will take over this land where we now live as foreigners." Isaac then sent Jacob to stay with Rebekah's brother, Laban, the son of Bethuel the Aramean. Esau marries the daughter of Ishmael. Esau found out that his father Isaac had blessed Jacob and had warned him not to marry any of the Canaanite women. He also learned that Jacob had been sent to find a wife in northern Syria, and that he had obeyed his father and mother. Esau already had several wives, but he realized at last how much his father hated the Canaanite women. So he married Ishmael's daughter, Mahalath, who was the sister of Nebaioth, and the granddaughter of Abraham. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left the town of Beersheba and started out for Haran. At sunset, he stopped for the night and went to sleep, resting his head on a large rock. In a dream, he saw a ladder that reached from earth to heaven, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing beside the ladder and said, "I am the Lord God who was worshipped by Abraham and Isaac. I will give to you and your family the land on which you are now sleeping. Your descendants will spread over the earth in all directions and will become as numerous as the specks of dust. Your family will be a blessing to all people. Wherever you go, I will watch over you. Then later I will bring you back to this land. I won't leave you. I will do all I have promised." Jacob woke up suddenly and thought, "The Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it." Then Jacob became frightened and said, "This is a fearsome place. It must be the house of God and the ladder to heaven." When Jacob got up early the next morning, he took the rock that he had used for a pillow and stood it up for a place of worship. Then he poured olive oil on the rock to dedicate it to God, and he named the place Bethel. Before that, it had been named Luz. Jacob solemnly promised God, "If you go with me and watch over me as I travel, and if you give me food and clothes and bring me safely home again, you will be my God. This rock will be your house, and I will give back to you a tenth of everything you give me." Jacob arrives at Laban's home. Chapter 29. As Jacob continued on his way to the east, he looked out in a field and saw a well where shepherds took their sheep for water. Three flocks of sheep were lying around the well, which was covered with a large rock. Shepherds would roll the rock away when all their sheep had gathered there. Then, after the sheep had been watered, the shepherds would roll the rock back over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, "Where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they answered. Then he asked, "Do you know Nahor's grandson, Laban?" "Yes, we do," they replied. "How is he?" Jacob asked. "He's fine," they answered. "And here comes his daughter, Rachel, with the sheep." Jacob told them, "Look, the sun is still high up in the sky, and it's too early to bring in the rest of the flocks. Water your sheep and take them back to the pasture." But they replied, "We can't do that until they all get here, and the rock has been rolled away from the well." While Jacob was still talking with the men, his cousin Rachel came up with her father's sheep. When Jacob saw her and his uncle's sheep, he rolled the rock away and watered the sheep. He then kissed Rachel and started crying because he was so happy. He told her that he was the son of her aunt Rebecca, and she ran and told her father about him. As soon as Laban heard the news, he ran out to meet Jacob. He hugged and kissed him and brought him to his home, where Jacob told him everything that had happened. Laban said, "You are my nephew, and you are like one of my own family." Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. After Jacob had been there for a month, Laban said to him, "You shouldn't have to work without pay just because you are a relative of mine. What do you want me to give you?" Laban had two daughters. Leah was older than Rachel, but her eyes didn't sparkle, while Rachel was beautiful and had a good figure. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he answered, "If you will let me marry Rachel, I'll work 7 years for you." Laban replied, "It's better for me to let you marry Rachel than for someone else to have her, so stay and work for me." Jacob worked 7 years for Laban, but the time seemed like only a few days because he loved Rachel so much. Jacob said to Laban, "The time is up, and I want to marry Rachel now." So Laban gave a big feast and invited all their neighbors. But that evening he brought Leah to Jacob, who married her and spent the night with her. Laban also gave Zilpah to Leah as her servant woman. The next morning Jacob found out that he had married Leah, and he asked Laban, "Why did you do this to me? Didn't I work to get Rachel? Why did you trick me?" Laban replied, In our country, the older daughter must get married first. After you spend this week with Leah, you may also marry Rachel. But you will have to work for me another 7 years. At the end of the week of celebration, Laban let Jacob marry Rachel, and he gave her his servant woman Bilhah. Jacob loved Rachel more than he did Leah, but he had to work another 7 years for Laban. The Lord knew that Jacob loved Rachel more than he did Leah, and so he gave children to Leah, but not to Rachel. Leah gave birth to a son and named him Reuben, because, she said, "The Lord has taken away my sorrow. Now my husband will love me more than he does Rachel." She had a second son and named him Simeon, because, she said, "The Lord has heard that my husband doesn't love me." When Leah's third son was born, she said, "Now my husband will hold me close." So this son was named Levi. She had one more son and named him Judah, because she said, "I'll praise the Lord." Problems between Rachel and Leah. Chapter 30. Rachel was very jealous of Leah for having children, and she said to Jacob, "I'll die if you don't give me some children." But Jacob became upset with Rachel and answered, "Don't blame me. I'm not God." "Here, take my servant Bilhah," Rachel told him. "Have children by her, and I'll let them be born on my knees to show that they are mine." Then Rachel let Jacob marry Bilhah, and they had a son. Rachel named him Dan, because she said, "God has answered my prayers. He has judged me and